This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Julian Ng. Is the country's fund management industry serving you well? Is it up to date with global trends and developments? On The Breakfast Guru this morning, we have Ho Sing Yee, CEO of RHB Asset Management. RHB Asset is among the biggest fund managers in the country, with assets under management of more than 50 billion ringgit. And Sing Yee himself is a veteran of the banking industry, having been in it for almost four decades now. So good morning, Sing Yee.
Good morning.
Welcome to the show. Since that merger between RHB and OSK, and that included the asset management arms as well, how have you been doing? How have the various fund management operations been doing?
The merger is a good merger between RHB RHB Investment Banking Group and also OSK Investment Banking Group, which includes the asset management business. Now, for the asset management business, the merger, I would say, is in a way perfect. All right. The reason is this. Fundamentally, the business emphasis of RHB Asset Management is on the institutional business, whereas for OSK Asset Management is on the retail business. So the marriage has brought into both retail and institutional businesses together. And that have helped the new merged entity has grown in size over these few years.
And I believe that has also managed to close the gap between yourselves and the leader of the industry, the leaders of the industry, the likes of Public Mutual and CIMB, leader in assets under management.
We aspire to be the leading fund house in the ASEAN market, and also together with the Asian capabilities. We have presence in four markets: Malaysia, Singapore, Indonesia, and Hong Kong. And surely, for Malaysia, the major businesses, they are still in Malaysia at this moment. And because Malaysia asset management industry or even the retail industry is a very vibrant and is a growing market, we would like to really tap further into this Malaysian market as well as the regional market.
This morning, we have Ho Sing Yee, CEO of RHB Asset Management, on the grill. If you have any questions, please do text us or tweet us. Sing Yee, how are you going to achieve this dominance within the fund management industry? I believe you want to build an agency force right now.
Yes. On the retail business, currently, we are having two major intermediary channels. One is from the banks, the banking sector, the wealth management side, and the other one is the agency side. And currently, we are not a big player in the agency side. We are a growing business. So for us to diversify, to grow further in the industry, we want to focus on this channel. And so that things could grow much bigger, because in the banking industry, for the wealth management side, we are there. We are one of the biggest players.
So if I could provide some numbers, you have about 900 agents right now. And if we look at the leader of the industry, Public Mutual, they have 28,000. And CIMB has about 6,000 to 7,000. We're talking about in terms an agency force in terms of thousands and tens of thousands. So the differences and the gap is quite staggering.
Sure. We are, in a way, a late player in terms of growing the agency force, notwithstanding the fact that we do have an agency force contributing positively to our business. So in that case, our strategy of growing the agency force is a bit different, in the sense that we are looking at, surely in agency force, number is important. But on the other hand, I think we look at quality. It's more important, all right? Because it's a well-trained professional agent that will help the companies to grow much better than a wide spread of agents in the market and that will may have some management issues.
So you do see some quality issues in the industry right now as far as agency forces are concerned?
Like any industry, there are bound to be some so-called bad apples, mm-hmm. right? But under this regulated environment of our unit trust industry, I am of the opinion that it's very much under control. It's very much under control because we have SC having regulation over the industry one, and also we have an active association, the FMM, in order to guide, to protect the interests of the investor, as well as to promote the industry via a professional agency force.
So when you strive for the qualitative factors, what are the criteria that you require of hiring your agents?
The criteria is we have a set of criteria, meaning we would like our agents to be professionally trained, all right, and also provide have good product knowledge and provide good service.
What does that mean when you say that somebody is professionally trained? What's the difference between that and the bad apples that you were talking about?
A professional trade agent simply means they are having good product knowledge and they serve the investor well, they update the investors, and they do not push sales, just for sales or selling sake, but more on looking into the interests of the investor where the investment product will be formed part of the investor portfolio, taking into consideration the risk level and also their objective.
I think the public is becoming more aware of the cost issues of buying into unit trusts. Recently also we saw newspaper reports that Rika Capital CEO Danny Wong, they manage about, I think, 700 million ringgit, very small compared to yourselves. He said that the entry fees into unit trusts of around 5 to 6% is too expensive. Do you think that this kind of very expensive and also very lucrative earnings for the agents do not bring about an alignment of interest between agents and investors in the sense that the agents will try to push products rather than think of what is best for the investor?
I think there are several perspectives in terms of this issue on the fees to the investors. Number one, the fees charged to the investor a lot depend on what type of delivery channel is servicing the investor. Number one is a banking channel. All right, the banking channel normally they charge maybe averagely 3%, 2.5-3% service charge, sales fees. Number two, if you're talking about independent financial advisor, okay, they also may charge lower. But if you really break down surveys to given by the independent financial advisor, they have some upfront fee, they may have rep fee, they may have also have other service fee. That add up together, it could be 2-3%. All right. And agency, similarly, it all depends on what type of investor they're servicing. If they're servicing one high net worth investors, they think that they have a lot of competition and they stay around his area, that he doesn't have to run about delivering the check to him, update him on the funds. Of course, that cost will be cheaper. But if the agent needs to run to 10 miles away through all the traffic jams, mm-hmm. all right, then of course that will be more expensive.
And we will certainly want to continue this conversation on The Breakfast Grill. Today is Ho Sing Yee, CEO of RHB Asset Management. And we're taking a look at how well your investments are doing within the industry. Up next, fintechs and are fund awards worth their salt? BFM 89.9. On The Breakfast Grill this morning is Ho Sing Yee, CEO of RHB Asset Management, and we're talking about developments in the fund management industry. And Sing Yee, we were talking about commissions earned by agents. Of course, we are seeing the growing trend and the growing threat and challenges and opportunities as well coming from fintech, because a lot of the service that you were talking about, check delivery and so on, can be optimized through technology. And technology has also made it cheaper for investors. For example, robo-advisors is a robotic asset allocation platform that is very popular today. And in the US, some research say that by 2020, about over $2 trillion US dollars would be poured into robo-advisors. Is fintech a threat to your quest to build a large agency force?
I think fintech, in terms of, in respect of asset management business, is not a threat. We have to, the industry has to embrace it, all right? Because this thing, fintech, right, you like it or not, it will come. In the financial services industry, in the banking industry, now is growing importance. And of course, at the moment, the industry itself is not two at once in terms of fintech, because we need maybe some regulatory changes in order to make it a bit more robust.
But which SC and Bank Negara are already very amenable to these changes coming in.
Yes, surely. That's the reason why I say the industry, including RHB Asset Management, has to embrace fintech as a way to serve the customers. Now, in terms of having embraced a fintech, at the moment, the so-called it's not very advanced. We just serve some statements, some so-called checking the portfolio by the agents, by the investors. I think moving forward, the fintech will inevitably go to this your iPad, your smartphone. All right, all this will become convenience.
But it would also hit at the rice bowls that are being provided by commissions, right? Because you're going to spend your time now to develop your agency force from about 900 right now to a few thousand. In the process, how would this change the incentivization schemes of your agents?
Yes. Now, there are different perspectives. Number one is we embrace it. In RHB Asset Management, we have planned to develop fintech technology further in order to support the business. Now, the other one is not necessary. It doesn't mean that the commission need to be reduced, but with convenience, yes, the commission could be lower. All right. But however, fintech have a far-reaching effect. You don't have to go to run to someone like I just say to deliver a check that could go by just go through the internet banking to do the transaction. So in that way, we still that could be a lowering of cost. But however, I strongly believe that in the unit trust or asset management industry, it is a sole industry. It's not a bought industry, meaning investor, the most important key element is they need advice, all right? They need good advice. And these surveys need to be compensated.
The challenge is that some of this so-called advice can be automated. And the robos in the United States, for example, are charging very extremely cheap fees, let's say below 1% to manage the funds. How can the 3 to 5% agency commissions compete with that kind of pricing?
Different sectors of customers. Robo-advisor will serve a different sector of customers. I think robo-advisor, number one, may affect independent financial advisor. They must really embrace it and how to improve it in order to continue the viability of the business. But for agency, normally they serve masses of investors that have maybe the financial knowledge or investment knowledge is not really. They know very much of it, and they need agency support in order for them to understand what are they investing in. So that in itself still needs service.
Now, you earlier talked about intermediaries, right, and intermediation. And I think you've done quite well with only an agency force of about 900 agents because your asset size is over 50 billion, which is not much different. I think it's a small difference from public mutuals over 60 billion. You managed to do it with a force of 900, whereas public mutual has a force of almost 30,000. How did that manage to happen, and why don't you continue with this strategy?
Well, there are different sectors. We have retail and we have institutional sectors. So, as I said, we have best of both worlds in RHB Asset Management. We have one side, institutional business, which is very substantial. At the same time, we have retail business. All right. And now, if you talk about retail business, that's the reason why we want to improve the delivery channel to the retail sectors, i.e. the agency force.
Now, the revenue or the AUM per agent is staggering. It's so much better than just creating an agency force where they will get successively smaller AUMs coming in. Would it be a better strategy to aim for the institutions who represent investors, the likes of EPF and so on, these large institutions?
Yes, we would like to improve both sides of the businesses. But however, institutional need a different type of service, and institutional business tend to be of smaller margin, whereas retail business tend to have a higher margin, especially in terms of AUM. Agency business, normally the AUM is stickier, all right, rather than the AUM is more volatile. So I think this what a fund house like us or fund manager want to do is, very importantly, is that make sure the AUM grow. So when the AUM grow, which simply means that we need stickier asset under management. And the way to move forward is to grow, to strengthen the agency force as one of the main distribution channels.
Ho Sing Yee, CEO of RHB Asset Management, is on the grill today. Talking about EPF, Sing Yee, EPF recently made a change of the 30% limit for approved unit trust to invest overseas. And now they can put, if they want to, 100% of their funds in foreign investments. Do you think this is beneficial for investors?
Yes, it is a very welcome move. The reason is straight away, they allow EPF members to diversify using the EPF saving in their portfolio.
Is this something that you would recommend to EPF members to put more money into foreign investments?
Yes, I would recommend them to have a look at this more choice of products because now we talk about foreign investment, talk about global exposure, where investment you can take advantage of the different market scenarios. Now, having said that, we must remember a EPF member is already ordinary investors in a sense of using the cash to invest in the unit trust products. Now,
with their personal savings.
Exactly. Yeah. So which simply means they're already exposed to the foreign funds, mm-hmm. all right? But however, normally EPF members' savings, they are more conservative. They normally currently invest in the local funds, local exposure. So surely with EPF this move, and I think that EPF know they need to do that in order for the investor to have a more balanced and more spread out investment portfolio in order to reduce that risk.
I think it's also a reflection that somebody inside EPF is sitting down and thinking how to make it better for investors so that they have, and members, EPF members, so that they have enough funds for their retirement. And when we spoke to Dato' Sharil, the CEO of EPF, some time back, he said that the next thing on the agenda is to also put the MIS scheme, the investment scheme, online so that commissions can be reduced as well. Is this something that would be a challenge to firms such as RHB Asset Management?
As I mentioned earlier, this EPF want to do this in order to reduce the cost and benefit to their members. this is the so-called right of what EPF would like to do, because this is they need to enhance and protect the but saving of the members.
Dato' Sharil said that he wants to see the he wants to see the 3% sales commission being paid gone. How does this affect the rice bowl of the agents?
Now, we step back a bit on what EPF is doing. EPF also is the one from 5%. They said, look, if you use EPF savings to do investment, member saving to do investment, you do at maximum 3%. That has been implemented years ago. All right.
But and now they want to
do
away with
that. EPF would like to reduce further. So you can see that even though they reduce from 5% to 3%, the industry continue to grow. So I can see the industry is always so-called adjusted to the market environment. All right.
Do you think that given that this is a captive market and it involves retirement issues for Malaysians at large, whether this sales commission should be reduced to zero? And given that EPF wants to put the purchases online, so it's you might not require the help of agents to do this.
Commission reduced to zero, when we talk about in general, it will come only when the industry, the whole industry AUM become very, very big. For example, in Australia, they have this independent financial advisor market, because of the superannuation scheme is so big, the whole market is everybody has an advisor. So if we have gone into that sort of sophistication market, all right, the market has become so sophisticated, then maybe the commission will much reduce. But until now, up to now, the market is growing, all right, and more investors need to be educated. More investors need to come into the investment of a long-term investment as a form of savings. So in this journey, all right, roadmap, yes, over time, the commission may be reduced, but I don't think it's zero, because depending on investor choice of choosing which channel of delivery of their service.
Speaking to Ho Sing Yee, CEO of RHB Asset Management, about the fund management industry. Sing Yee, RHB Asset Management was the biggest award winner under the Lipper Awards in 2015, bagging more than 12 awards out of 13 categories. And you're 3 to 4 times more awards than the giants like CIMB or Public Mutual. Was there a concerted effort to win awards in 2015?
Yes, our number one, we have a very robust investment process with governance, with risk management to be as part and parcel of the process. And of course, we use a top-down approach, looking at top and bottom approach of investment. We look at the macroeconomics, then we look at selection of stocks, selection of sectors. I think that is very, very important. Also, we have very experienced fund managers. Mm-hmm. Now, really, we would surely like to focus on awards. It's not getting awards for awards' sake. Number one, getting awards will make our fund managers very happy, because it's the hard work. But having said that, it's a consistency.
Yeah, exactly. How long do you think you can maintain this being at the top? Because this is the first time that RHB has bagged so many awards. In the last 2 years, there were just a handful of 3 or 4 awards. And it shows that from before, the major award winners, like a Public Mutual, they were the highest award winners, but they were nowhere to be seen in 2015. So should we take this kind of amassing of awards seriously?
Yes, it is. Just a little correction from me. We have been getting quite a number, many awards since 2014, 2015, and this year 2016. Meaning, after the merger of RHB and OSK, in fact, the number of awards have increased tremendously. And we believe that with consistent performance, consistent fund management, and also the so-called the whole framework. I think we will continue to get awards.
So can you just give us a word about how investors can expand their returns going forward in this challenging global environment?
I think it's important for investor, number one, to really look at their own objective, their own risk profile, they understand themselves or herself or himself about their investment needs. All right. Then subsequently, they need to really go to choose a good advisor, whether it is an independent financial advisor, whether it's agent order, or whether it's a relationship manager from a bank, they must understand his or her needs.
Thank you so much for your time. And that was Ho Sing Yee, CEO of RHB Asset Management, on this morning's Breakfast Grill. I'm Julian Ng for BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.